This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here again with the another edition of the Anything Goes podcast. We're flipping things up, going back to our action sports roots today. No wrestling, no MMA, no auto racing, no action movie stars. We are going straight action sports. Got my guest this week is going to be Cambria Matlow, who is the writer, director, producer of a new film, actually not a new film. It's been around for a couple of years. That's gone through the independent film circuit with a lot of these film festivals. But it's called The Woods Rider, and it's about Sadie Ford follows her around the Mount Hood area on her snowboard, camping in the backcountry for a good winter. So it is an amazing film. Had the opportunity to screen it. It comes out March 12th. Streaming services, iTunes, and all over the internet, basically anywhere you get your favorite movies. So that's going to be our guest today, Cambria Matlow. Looking forward to having her on the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure if you haven't already, go and hit that subscribe button over there on iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast. You never know what you're going to get each week with some of our guests. Always dropping some amazing guests, and sometimes a little bit of overflow from the Down and Dirty Radio Show. We'll drop some stuff in this feed as well. Should be an amazing show. Also, make sure and go over to iTunes and hit the subscribe button to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, my motorsports show. Make sure and hit that subscribe button. Either show, if you rate, review, and subscribe, if you leave your rating or review in the body of the review, if you leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username, when I see that review and your name tag down there, I will follow you back on social media. My promise to you, speaking of social media, it's at JimBeaver15 on all forms of social media. Definitely check me out. By the way, next week I will be on site at the Mint 400. I will be racing, but I'll also be doing a show on Friday at the Mint 400 from the Polaris Razor Compound. In addition to that, I will also be doing an autograph signing. Looks like 10 a.m. local time Friday, next Friday there at the Mint 400 at the Vision Wheel booth. So make sure and swing by either Polaris Razor or Vision Wheel on Friday. And I would love to meet fans of any of my shows or anybody just wants to stop by and say hey. So definitely reach out to me and would love to link up with you. And I'll be posting all kinds of radness on my social media over the course of the next couple of weeks in regards to the Mint 400. So before we get to this amazing interview with Cambria Matlow, do definitely want to tell you guys about a few of our amazing partners right here on Project Action on Podcast One. You know, and the end of February continues on with a ton of action in the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, with teams now putting themselves in a position for the second half of the season, and March Madness is less than a month away. Every game becomes that much more important. As I've been saying for months now, there's only one place that has it all and the action that you want, and that is betonline.ag. So sign up today for a free account on betonline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 when making your first deposit, and you'll get a 50% sign-up bonus. Yes, I said a 50% sign-up bonus. And you know I'm a hockey fan. And Tampa, New York, Winnipeg, Calgary, they all currently sit on top of their divisions. Will Washington get a chance to repeat the Stanley Cup? Can Vegas repeat its magic from last year and get back to the top? Toronto, Nashville, they're staying close too. You know what? Use your mobile device today. Sign up at betonline.ag. Use that promo code PODCAST1. Get that 50% sign-up bonus. Also, you can try in-game live betting for all the fun and action. BetOnline.ag, they are your online sportsbook experts. And okay, This is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you. But please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company, they're called GEICO. Go to geico.com today. And sorry for all these numbers. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of here. And you know, one of our partners, they've been with us since day one. And, you know, they're a company that I am a massive, massive fan of because they're always flipping the script on how you purchase a new or used car. And, you know, every car comes with its share of stories. You know, the ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after you got that big promotion at work, or you know what, maybe you saved a bunch of mileage by riding your bicycle all summer. Well, you can't put a price tag on your stories until now. Now with TrueCar, you can at least find what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how all the details about your vehicle pop right up like magic. Then you answer a few questions. Do you have navigation and a moonroof? Well, you'll watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? Well, you knew it was going to cost you. Now you'll know how much. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer and cash out or trade in your vehicle. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer, it's not available in all states. And with that, we're going to roll right into this interview with Cambria Matlow. I'd like to welcome one of my guests to the show today, Cambria Matlow with the Woods Rider film. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I know we may have a surprise. We're kind of waiting to hear, but Sadie Ford, who I guess would be the star of the film, she may be calling in, may or may not. So if not, we'll probably catch up with her down the road. But I'm really excited to have you on. I finally was able to this week actually watch the screener for the documentary, and I got to tell you, it was, I went in it with open eyes. I didn't read a lot online. I just kind of wanted to take it all in as it came. And I got to tell you, it was different than what I expected, but that's in a good way. You know what I mean? I think in the cinematics of the film were just absolutely kind of amazing. And I love the way you kind of, everything was filmed from a distance, you know, and just kind of observed Sadie. Like, I don't know. I mean, how did this whole process in this film, come about? Because I know you've done some films, and it seems like every time you do something, it's always just a little bit different take on things.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you liked it and that it was surprising in a good way. I think it was kind of surprising for all of us, I think in good ways. The film started because I'm old now, but in my teens, in my early 20s, I was a snowboarder. I spent like back-to-back seasons, many seasons in a row on the snow. And, but I was also just very visual, kind of a budding filmmaker. And, every time I was out on the snow, I just was kind of like looking through, like, you know, if you put your hands up, in the shape of a movie screen, I was almost like my eyes were just kind of like making a movie while I was snowboarding. And I really just wanted to like put what I was seeing, onto a screen. And then I also I just really wanted to put what I was seeing and feeling onto a screen. And I also felt like I just kind of hadn't seen the experience that I was having on the snow on the screen. And sometimes that can be just kind of really important, especially to a young person, just to kind of like, you know, see someone that reminds you of you up on a movie screen, to let you know that your experience kind of like has validity and power to it. And that's kind of the beginning of the idea. And then what happened is I moved from the East Coast to Portland, Oregon, and which was kind of new terrain for me. I had spent a lot of time snowboarding in Vermont before that. So I thought, okay, I can make this movie, you know, I can really make this anywhere that, you know, mountain culture exists. And so I had I'll kind of start that sentence over a little bit. I certainly knew that I didn't want the film to star me, because that would be a big mistake.
Yeah.
But I wanted to kind of cast the role of who I was going to follow. And so I had a couple of basically like, you know, boxes that I wanted to tick off of, like, who I wanted this person to be.
Yeah.
And I can kind of get into that a little bit more later. But yeah, that's kind of how the film came to be.
Yeah.
And then I guess, you know, having Sadie in particular join is a continuation of that story, of how it came to be Sadie in particular.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you said something kind of interesting back there, you know, in that, you know, how you, you know, you put up your hands like a TV screen, like a box, you know, when you were out there and you looked and you didn't see, you know, anything that was out there that, you know, presented, you know, in the way you wanted. And it's funny because as somebody that's, you know, whether it be surfing or snowboarding or skateboarding, you know, there's two action sports that really, to me, like, make you realize how small you are in the big scheme of things. And, you know, and one is snowboarding and the other surfing, and whether you're on the mountain or out in the water, and when you're out by yourself, especially, like, you just get this weird, surreal feeling, you know what I mean? Where you just realize how small we all actually are, you know, just surrounded by the elements and actually how vulnerable we are, you know? And I don't know, that's one of the things that I think I took from this film was just, you know, kind of the remoteness of it and, you know, and just kind of shows how big the world actually is around us, you know?
Yeah. And, it was interesting because, yeah, I mean, Sadie in particular, she kind of took that even to, like, another level than anything I had ever done. And that she's, like, camping in the woods in the winter. So that was kind of, like,
That's crazy.
She was really kind of testing herself and testing, like, you know, the power of one person against, like, an entire, you know, woods and mountain in the winter system. And it's funny because, yeah, it has this kind of really, I think the film has this sense of, like, the way that you feel when you're around people and then the way that you feel when you're alone.
Yeah.
And that's something I really wanted to tap into because I feel like so often, you know, snowboarding videos, you know, we see cool tricks, like we see amazing, you know, locations. There's a lot of kind of like, I don't know that you get really a sense of just kind of that aloneness that you feel when you're out there. You definitely get a sense of like, you know, the party scene, I think.
Yes.
And that's kind of played up. And I wanted to kind of take that to task a little bit and just kind of show a kind of like the silliness of the partying. I mean, I love the partying, but like, there's a real difference there.
Yeah.
In those two situations. And then the weather was so crappy when we filmed that that actually became really easy to do because there just wasn't anybody around.
Yeah. Well, and I got to ask too, like when she was camping and things like that, I mean, how far out was she? How deep into the forest? I mean, are we talking, you know, like, I mean, how far, you know, when she was out there alone, I mean, how alone was she? I mean, I know there's, you know, where it shows her coming back into town and things like that, but just out of curiosity, how deep in was she?
Well, I'm not able to say exactly where she was.
Okay.
for legality purposes. I don't want anyone to come after us or her.
Gotcha.
We had to sneak around a little bit. She's probably about half a mile, three quarters of a mile, up from like, the feeder road.
Okay.
Outside the town of Government Camp.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if she's three quarters of a mile, she's pretty, you know, I mean, we're not talking 10 miles deep, but she was in there. I mean, it's remote when you're that far in. And I mean, how was that with, you know, you, because you were out filming her basically. I mean, was there a lot of interaction off camera between you guys, or were you kind of just letting her do her thing and you just kind of filming, you know, what she did?
You know, kind of a combination of both. She was really great about We did a lot of texting. She would just kind of like let me know where she was at and what her plan for the day was. And so there was a lot of communication between us when we weren't filming. And at the same time, I didn't want to film her doing anything that she wouldn't otherwise normally just be doing.
Yeah.
So I didn't really ask her to do anything. But it was just kind of weird. So she wouldn't have to like live her life and just kind of give me a heads up, like all the time about what she was about to do. And then like, for example, when she was doing something like putting up her tent, well, that took a while. So that was pretty easy to film, just because we were going to get, you know, shots of that no matter how that went. But occasionally if she was doing something that like was only going to last for a short period of time, she was really cool about like, you know, waiting for us to kind of set up the shot,
gotcha,
before she did it.
Gotcha.
It was definitely like a collaboration, and I was really appreciative that, you know, that she was kind of willing to do that.
Well, I think it actually lends itself really well to the film because, you know, she wasn't being directed to do certain things. This was just what she would be doing, you know, and I think that's what led to the authenticity of it. You know what I mean? And you know, I thought it was, you know, honestly going in, you know, when I originally, you know, read, they're like, hey, do you want to, because I do a lot of action sports films or films and I do screeners and stuff like that. And they're like, you know, we've got this, you know, snowboarding film. And I'm like, absolutely, let's do it. And I started watching. I'm like, whoa, this wasn't what I was expecting. This is really rad, you know, but it was like, I was thinking kind of like you had said, like this was going to be something about the party scene and cool tricks and, you know, and like, I love that stuff. I mean, who doesn't, right? But it was so nice to get that fresh take on, you know, just like you said, on, you know, on people and mountain culture and snowboarding. And I thought, you know, I don't know, I really, really enjoyed it. But which leads me to the next question, and you kind of got into it a little bit, but how did you and Sadie originally get connected, and how did you guys get linked up? Because I know you said there was some certain things you were looking for, and you know, how did this whole thing come together?
So, I knew that I wanted a female snowboarder. That was really important to me. I wanted someone who lived like full time on the mountain. I wanted someone who was just like in the season all winter long, like someone who was just passionate enough about the sport to, you know, be living there and doing it every day. I didn't necessarily need like a pro or like, you know, the best snowboarder in the world, but someone who just was very passionate about it and really just kind of like living for that. And someone who was living on the mountain. And I actually ended up, I started off with a Craigslist post, and that actually ended badly because a couple people responded who were like fine, but didn't quite fit the bill. One person responded who I actually knew, and she was this kind of like super crazy girl who had once like almost run me over with her car in something related to something totally different. Like it was about a friend of mine who was a guy that she was a bit like, she was just like super crazy, and she like responded, and I was like, I don't think it's going to be you. So I took a different tactic, and I ended up just like posting a flyer at the local market, at Gubby General. And you know, just said like, hey, do you want to be in a documentary this season? And Sadie responded. And when she first responded, it was actually in concert with a friend of hers. And I thought, oh, this is great. Like, I'll have two people, you know, two different personalities, you know, and I'll kind of like, it'll give, you know, the main, like, it'll give them an excuse to talk because they'll have each other to talk to.
Yeah.
And interact with them. I'll just kind of like get to see that, like, you know, social interaction. And I was open to that. And then the other person actually moved, I think, to Bend. And so then it was just Sadie. And I was like, do you still want to do this? And she was totally down to do it. And then, you know, and then Sadie turned out to be Sadie. Like, she ticked off the boxes, but then she was, like, you know, so much more interesting than than anyone else, I think.
Yeah. Well, and you know,
and she kind of like just, you know, she just turned out to be really, really, really extra special.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, I think it's one of those where you couldn't have, for the role, you couldn't have picked somebody better. But I thought it was interesting you'd said, you know, it started out as two people, went back down to one. But then on the flip side, you know, along with Sadie, you got her dog, which, you know, that I feel like it lended itself because you ended up having that second person there. It was just in the role of the dog, right?
Totally. Yeah, Scooter. I know. A couple people have seen the movie and, like, it's really a dog lovers movie. People who have dogs that, you know, that they, you know, they love, everyone loves their dog. But they're just like, oh, I love the relationship she has with her dog. And yeah, she totally, like, I think like 50% of the talking that she does is to the dog.
Yeah. And
and it was sweet because we get a chance to, like, hear her voice even when she's alone so much of the time. We get to hear her.
Yeah. Which is funny because, you know, anybody that has a dog who has spent time alone and things like that, you know, I mean, you do. You start carrying conversations with the dog and things like that. And, there was the human aspect to it, you know what I mean? And I think anybody who is an animal person, like, they understand that, you know, just like I said, there was legit conversations there. It was just her with the dog. And I loved it. You know, that was like, I think it would have been, like, at this point, after watching it, I'm like, if you remove the dog from the film, like, it would have had a completely different feel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you look at Sadie's Instagram, it's probably like 50% dog. Scooter's awesome. Scooter is very amenable.
Yeah.
To all the crazy things. Well, we didn't really ask Scooter to do anything. Sadie did.
Yeah. So I know you guys filmed this a while back, but give us the details, because it's starting March 12th. I think it's becomes available for everybody to watch, right? You've had it at some festivals and things like that, but now it's kind of be widely available, right?
Yeah, March 12th. It's kind of crazy. It's 2019 now. We actually filmed this 5 years ago. Choose a day, like 5 years ago exactly, we were filming. And it's funny because, you know, right now this past February, it's just been dumping and dumping on Mount Hood, which is what I thought it was going to be doing 5 years ago when we filmed, and only to discover that would not be the case. We filmed in 2014. There had been some, like, pre-production and, you know, fundraising leading up to that. And after we filmed, there was sort of like a year, really 2 years of editing, sort of 1 year of, like, you know, really dialing around with it, and then another year of really focused editing. I edited it with some input from a couple friends, a couple editors in town. One was Ruth Carassa, and the other was Ian Clark. My dog is actually trying to get in the room right now. Very much inspired by Scooter. In 2016, actually, Ian Clark runs a film festival, a really amazing film festival called the Eastern Oregon Film Festival. He's also a snowboarder, and so I think he kind of just got the film both from a snowboarder perspective, you know, and like a cinematic perspective. And so we actually had like a secret screening there, at the Eastern Oregon Film Festival. It showed at the Northwest Filmmakers Festival in Portland. And then the following year, due to kind of like strange festival politics, it had its like official world premiere at the Santa Cruz Film Festival. And it won an award there. It was dubbed the best experimental feature, Santa Cruz. And then it played the Portland Film Festival. And then I got it shown down in LA, which is really cool because that's where I'm from originally, and it showed at the Echo Park Film Center. And let's see, that was 2018. And yeah, we've been searched around looking for a distributor just so I could get it out more widely, and partnered up with Uncorked Entertainment, who's going to be releasing the film in March. And it'll be coming out I know for sure Amazon and iTunes. I want to say Xbox and Google Play, and then some sort of like Comcast affiliate situation, which I'm not 100% clear on. But if people see it, they'll be able to watch it.
Yeah. You know,
like if you have Comcast, somehow you'll be able to watch it. I'm not quite sure how that works.
Yeah, they probably got some kind of on-demand thing or something. But, you know, it's
It's
funny to hear about that because there's a whole journey in that. I mean, I've got a friend that's an independent filmmaker also. And, you know, and a lot of people listening are like, oh, this was filmed 5 years ago and it's just finally coming out. And, like, I don't think people realize, that, you know, like somebody like you as an independent filmmaker, I mean, the journey you have to go through to actually get your film out there and released, right? I mean, you can film it and you can fund the film, but then you've got it in hand and still, I mean, it's an adventure getting that thing, you know, in front of the right people and getting it into the right channels to actually get to the point where you guys are on March 12th, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's, I don't really know why. I don't really know why anyone does this. Because it's just like, you know, it's not always, I mean, I really enjoy the filming process and I really enjoy, obviously, seeing your work on screen is amazing. And I love editing too. And then, you know, but then you have to really just like, I don't know, think that either your work is, you know, worthy of being seen by a bunch of people or just have like just ridiculous determination. I'm really bad at letting things lie. Like I like to finish things.
Yeah.
And I think you kind of have to have a little bit of that. Certainly, for me, Woods Rider was a win because it only took 5 years from, from filming to distribution. My first film, I think was like 7. So like, if I can just get that to be shorter and shorter, then I'm pumped.
Yeah, well, you're trimming 2 years off every time. You went 7 to 5. The next one will be 3. Like, I think we're on a good path here, right?
Yeah, yeah. Those are the features. So, yeah. Like, actually, after we did it, I didn't make a shirt. And so I did that. And that one, so far, it's only been, like, not even a year. So that's another option. Definitely just pump out some shorts and feel good that you're actually, like, making stuff on the regular.
Yeah. So, what that leads me to my question. I know I see here you've got something in post-production right now, but what's next on the agenda for you as far as films?
Oh, gosh. The film in post is called No More Dope Parties. And it definitely kind of takes that similar meditative vibe that Woods Rider has. Turns the subject on myself a little bit. It's based around, and again, I guess I really like trees because in a way you could say that the main subject of that film is these two trees that are in a park a couple blocks from me. But it kind of takes those two trees and talks about the history of the trees and the history of the neighborhood, but also my experience living here in this kind of like southeast corner of Portland, Oregon, and in particular, my experience as a mother living in this place. And I actually reference Woods Rider at some point during this short. And then I tie in some dope parties, and then I also tie in Woody Guthrie because he lived a couple blocks from here back in like 1940 or 41. And wrote a bunch of songs about the area.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a personal essay documentary is what I would call it. And then kind of more along those lines, I've got another feature that I'm working on. It's super personal. It's about my family and my sister. And that one is back in 2011, I was like, oh, this is a 10-year project. So that one actually doesn't count for the whole, like, you know, T-2 years
yeah.
thing. So that one is definitely in process, and in 2000, yeah, that one's gonna be a long time coming. And then I've got a feature narrative that I wrote couple summers ago now that I'm just kind of sitting on and waiting for the right time to really dig into that. It's a period piece, and it takes place in Southeast Oregon, and that one's just going to be a whole situation. But I will let you know when that one's happening.
Well, it sounds like you got a lot of stuff in the pipeline, but was fun catching up today, talking about the Woods Rider. Obviously, March 12th releases, and I don't know. Obviously, you guys have the website there where people can go and find out more information. And I appreciate the time.
I appreciate your time. Yeah, and your consideration of the film and your take on it. Thank you.
Nice of Cambria Matlow to drop into the show. Always fun catching up with, with somebody in the action sports community, you know? And it's time to get your fitness on with the nation's premier personal trainer and wellness coach, Ben Greenfield, each week on Ben Greenfield Fitness right here on Podcast One. Need more fitness advice? Join Ben this week as he meets up with podcast legend Adam Carolla on The Adam Carolla Show. Download Ben Greenfield Fitness every Wednesday. And don't miss Ben on The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Speaking of your favorite podcasts, hopefully Project Action's on that list. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes to this one, as well as the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Follow me at JimBeaver15 on social media. And love hearing from you guys. DM me on social media. Give me feedback on the show. Guest suggestions. I would love to hear from you on any and all things. You can also use the contact form at downanddirtyshow.com. Big thanks to our good friends at Geico, TrueCar, and betonline.ag for the support of the show. And we'll be back with more Project Action next week right here on Podcast One. Be safe. As always, game on.